The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
From beautiful Burbank, California, this is the Knapsack Files. I'm Ken Knapsack for a very special edition of the Knapsack Files. It's a love edition. It's a marriage edition. It's the inside scoop of planning a wedding with Josh McCuga and his fiance Amanda Gordon, which we have a lot of questions about that. But Josh,
happy to answer.
Hey, you are no stranger to the Knapsack Files.
No, of course, love it. I love this show. I feel like I was like one of your first 10 or 15 guests.
You
was
were
I not?
Very early on, and that's when I didn't even know you as much. You're just the rapscallion.
One of the more fun interviews I've ever done with you, talking about my New York days and all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, and I have a lot of fun on the Josh McCuga show, whatever iteration it is.
You've been on 5 or 6 times now.
It's been dangerous because I have family that watches it and reaches out. And then I have girlfriend family that says, grandma was watching your appearance on Josh McCuga's show, which makes me nervous. And then even my own mother this week. I was like, I was a little bored. She'd hurt her ribs and she was on the couch. She's like, I watched some of your appearances. I said, what stuff? She said, well, one on the Josh McCuga show. I was like, oh, no. Which one? But I didn't go into it because it's such a fun freewheeling show.
It sure is.
We've talked a lot to you.
I swear, I think I've shared some of my deepest, darkest secrets with one Ken Knapsack.
On the microphones.
Yes.
And we know it's well known within the circle of your fan of Josh, your fan of Schmoes and Collider and all the stuff we do. You know that you are engaged to be married.
I am.
That's
no longer
right.
A secret. And Amanda, you're the absolutely lucky lady.
I sure am.
You're the one who's...
I'm the lucky one, Ken.
Look, I want to give you some credit.
Okay.
We want to give you some credit. But yeah, absolutely. Josh, you're freaking lucky.
Yeah.
But that's good. But also, there's so many questions we could ask. But also, there's a real purpose we're doing this later tonight. We're meeting because I have been tasked with the honor of officiating this wedding.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we need to plan a little bit. And I figure, what better way to plan and talk about weddings than actually in front of microphones? Right? Right.
This is like a therapy session. We're just letting it all out.
Now, I want to start. This is probably a little egocentric, and I admit it. But guess what? I'm in the entertainment business.
Hey, come on.
I can understand Josh looking at me and said, hey, this guy, you know, he should stay. He did it for Matt and Brittany, Matt Key, Brittany Wallach. I officiated their wedding. I could see you going, hey, this is the kind of guy. He's got a gray beard. He's a sage. Yeah. He's good at roasts, you know, which might be weird. But Amanda, how did you get on board with a stranger, basically, officiating your wedding?
Well, you weren't a complete stranger. We'd met several times.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually came to us so quickly. It was like we looked at each other and both went, Ken.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we both feel the same about you. We love you. And I think you speak so well in public. And also we just wanted, I don't know, we wanted someone close to us that knew both of us, that sort of understand our relationship, that had been around, the two of us together.
You have a good energy, Ken. You have,
And you just have like, you're a very, you like bring light into a room. So we both kind of, there really wasn't even questions. We didn't have a long conversation. It was like, okay, so who's going to marry us? Ken, right?
It wasn't like Cobster, Ken.
There was
flip a coin.
There was no short list, Ken.
Okay. Yeah, there was
one person on a list, and then after that, it was Bo Jackson. So if we didn't get Ken Knapsack, it was going to be Bo Jackson.
If Bo was available, which I would gladly, I would bow down.
Acquiesce to a little Bo.
I would
Bo
bow down.
If we'd bow down, there you go. Yes.
Man, there's so many questions I want to ask. And again, I'm honored. It's something I take seriously. I'm nervous beyond all hell.
Really?
So are we.
For the wedding? I'm talking
about me.
I'm not nervous.
Are you nervous for me?
No.
You should be.
I'm nervous for the wedding. I'm not nervous to marry him.
Yeah.
I know I want to marry him.
Yeah.
But weddings... I mean, this is obviously the first time and last that we're ever going to do this. But there's a lot. I mean, you learn through planning that there's a lot of pressure. And everyone says, Amanda, this is your day. It's the bride's day. Everyone's looking at you. It's not really my day. It's like mainly we're just throwing a family reunion for our parents, which is awesome. But it does feel kind of like a performance. Like, yeah. Like we just have to like smile and walk down the aisle and kind of give like our pageant wave and right. be perfect and beautiful. Which is fun.
Yeah.
You know, that's the fun of it all, but it does feel a little bit like I'm stepping onto a stage and doing some.
Yeah. A surreal performance.
Some performance. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
legal and binding.
Right. Exactly.
Was there any thought, not to eloping, but to a smaller scale, we're going to a courthouse and having a barbecue after anything
yes.
like that?
I mean,
from you. But I'm sure family was like, nah.
The initial excitement of mm-hmm. being of getting engaged, you yeah. automatically go to this place of like, what's my dress going to look like? Where are we going to mm-hmm. get married? It's going to be this big thing. We want all of our friends and family to come. I mean, you automatically, I think, yeah. just go to that place of wanting the big wedding.
Right.
But it's not until you actually start looking at cost of everything and also managing different emotions of what, because right. everyone gives you their opinion of what they think you should do
sure.
in the very beginning stages. So you're listening to all these different opinions and what your family wants. And I'm someone who every time someone asks me what I want, I just say, I want everyone to be happy. So that was hard. That was really hard for me to navigate through all these different right. emotions.
And as a bride, you got to make command decisions.
And
right?
I'm terrible at that.
Right. Well, so, yeah, if you're like, I want everyone to be happy, though, that's
tough. No,
right.
it gets
you got to make
nowhere.
Some cuts. Yes. No shrimp cocktail, and your third cousin's not coming.
Exactly. So
the carving station was a big deal, Ken. Oh, getting that carving
huge.
Station ready. You know what was crazy was when we first got engaged, mm-hmm. I said to Amanda, I said, I want to wait until after Christmas, after the new year, then right. we can start planning the wedding. I was like, let's enjoy engagement.
Did he realize that I am a planner, just like yeah. in general? And he's like, we're going to wait. I'm like, you're hilarious.
By Wednesday, she's like, we can't afford a wedding. Are you ridiculous? We're never going to afford a wedding. I was like, babe, what did I say? Let's enjoy the engagement period. Let's go to Pittsburgh. Let's enjoy an engagement party. Let's enjoy our family. Let's enjoy the diamond I just bought to put on your ring, on your finger.
Show
let's,
everyone the diamond.
Show it yeah. off. I spent my entire life savings on it. Let's do it. And before you knew it, we had a wedding planned before the new year. I mean, it was like, we're going to go we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this.
When exactly did you get engaged?
December 11th.
Yep. December 11th. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the new year, you're off and running. By the end of the, by the new year, it strikes.
I mean, we had the venue by February. Okay. I mean,
I looked, it was January 30th mm-hmm. is when we actually finalized the venue.
Yeah. Do you have a journal you're keeping?
Oh, you know it. Although
it's
have several.
It's not a journal, Ken. It's a binder.
Yeah,
it's
a binder. But I have several. I write notes everywhere yeah. that I lose which journal I wrote it in, and then I can't remember what's on my to-do list.
So, Josh, you wanted a long engagement, or longer? You wanted to put things off?
Here's my thought. It wasn't I wanted to put it off.
By the way, okay. if you ever like, since I'm not a, I'm an internet pastor.
Sure.
You know, you this
me,
is like,
as me as well.
This as you as well. Yeah. This is like a pre-marriage counseling session with your pastor about wedding stuff.
This is the delicious dish.
Yeah, so we'll work through some.
Yes. Yeah. My thought was, and I know this is going to sound absurd, and Amanda thought it was absurd when I said it, but right. I didn't want to have a fall wedding because people from Pittsburgh take football season very seriously. And if we did it on a home
that.
Weekend, a lot of Pittsburgh people wouldn't come or be upset or be uh-huh. a little upset that like, oh, it's Steelers Ravens at home. You're going to yeah. get married in California the weekend of Steelers Ravens. And I'm like, okay, listen. This is what it's my wife true. Wants. She wants a fall wedding. She wants this.
Don't put that on
Hold
me.
On.
We wanted it.
We
you
wanted.
Say
no, we.
We
did. We did.
Now
we
that
wanted
we're
a fall
married,
wedding.
You say we with everything.
We did.
Got to learn, Josh.
So I had said, why don't we do spring of 2018? And she's like, well, we can't start planning for a spring of 2018 wedding. People need to know this. They need to know this, and like right. we can't
no,
start doing. That's what it right. was. Remember, you said we
yes,
couldn't do it if too far in
reason,
advance.
I'm taking
the
notes.
Reason that I
taking great notes.
The honest reason why yeah. I didn't want to wait until spring is because I don't do well with anticipating something I have to do later. So
and for me, I'm
we
like,
sent
I'm
we already sent our invitations out like 2 months before we were supposed to.
Oh wow!
So I don't do well with yeah. sitting around and waiting. I want to like get it all done right now.
Do you eat the vegetables first, Amanda? You sit down. I'm getting the broccoli out of the way.
Definitely not.
Oh, okay.
She, you know what?
I eat the good stuff first, and then I pick at the veggies. Mm.
I'm just, okay, that's different.
Unless Josh is making them, and then they're like delicious because they've just got oil and all the bad stuff on them. And
I can make veggies taste good.
Oh, yeah.
You're a good cook. This I could attest. What's the famous dish you make?
The pasta carbonara.
Pasta carbonara. Yeah, we could have some of that. Wow. So this is moving fast.
I respect the
fast engagement. Because, look, I love you guys. I don't want to wait 2-3 years.
Oh, you're right.
What's going on with Amanda and Josh? They're still waiting about this? Come on.
And that's the funny thing is, like, the long engagement is – I mean, they've made movies about it, that 5-year engagement movie. They've made TV shows about long engagements. Are they ever going to get married? And I think there wasn't really any family pressure, but I know Amanda wanted to get married, and so did I. I didn't want to, like, sit around and wait 3 years, and then all of a sudden they're still engaged. Who cares about them getting married?
It's not a matter of – you know, this super long engagement. I just feel like we met each other at the perfect age where we both knew very early on what we wanted. So we talked about that a lot. Both he and I were very open.
Communication was very key.
And I think it was just, the timing was felt right for us. So it wasn't, I could wait 3 more years to marry him because I know I'll be with him forever anyway. But it's more that we know what we want. We know what we'd like our future to look like. Mm-hmm. So to us, it's not like we're rushing. At least I don't feel like we're rushing a wedding by any means. I feel like I'm married to him now. You know, I mean, we live together and we already share our lives. So I just think why not celebrate that now?
Sure.
And then I can get pregnant. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. Look, I've shared a hotel room with Josh now. If you can survive the night terrors, you're in. Oh, you're married.
Saturday night was not good.
Yeah,
oh, not tough. Good.
I woke up in the middle of the night and she wasn't in bed. I was like, oh, night
sometimes,
terrors.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like it doesn't happen often, but sometimes when I know he's had a little too much bourbon and he's like, I'm going to go to bed. And I know I walk in and let's just lay on the bed, like face down, not even under the covers. I know it's going to be a rough night. So sometimes I'm like, you know, I'm just going to have a little staycation in our guest room and get a good night's sleep.
Hey, that's the benefit of a guest room, I suppose.
Yes.
So Amanda, I'll start with you. And I don't mean to say that it's the bride's, got the lead here. Josh, this is your wedding too. All right. Sure. This is down the pipeline.
Let's be honest,
down
the center. I'm just there to look. I'm just there for arm candy for Amanda.
You're just there to be in that suit?
Yes, correct. Right. Yeah.
Amanda, when you look at planning a wedding and you get a little overwhelmed and you throw, what kind of wedding do you realistically want? How do you want it to feel, sound, the tones, the aesthetic?
So touching back a little bit on the excitement initially when we got engaged. And then we started looking at cost of everything. Realistically, I said to him, like, maybe we just elope and throw a small party because the cost of this stuff is crazy. But really, when I sat down and thought about what I wanted, what my dream day would look like, I really wanted our family and all the people we love there to, I mean, not only like witness it, but also, I mean, why not like bring more love into our union and how much we love each other. And so much of our relationship too is based off of the people around us. And we met through our best friends. And, when I really pictured it of he and I, like in Italy, just the two of us, I didn't get that magical feeling that like walking down the aisle and having him see me for the first time in my dress. I don't think you get that when it's just the two of you. Or at least, I mean, you know, I just pictured us like getting dressed together in our hotel room, the two of us, like, all right, let's just walk out to the beach, I guess.
Yeah.
So I really wanted that magic.
Yeah.
And I felt like in order to achieve that and feel that, I would want all of our closest friends and family there.
Right.
So that's when I knew we're having the big wedding.
We're going all
and
in.
We're doing it. Yeah. But my perfect day would look, I mean, I hate to use this word for like the first, you know, what I would feel on my wedding day, but just relaxed. I mean, okay. I've been in so many weddings that were either super high stressed or, neurotic or like OCD crazy when things don't go their way on the wedding day. And that was the one thing I keep going back to is like, I want to wake up on the day of my wedding and just be genuinely excited and happy and relaxed.
Yeah.
I just want to wake up and not be hungover.
And I, yeah, good luck. Good luck. And I wanted it to feel intimate. You know, I wanted our day to feel like us. So obviously a little humor, a lot of dancing.
A lot of dancing.
A lot of drinking, a lot of humor.
And, you know, a lot of love.
A lot of love. Yeah. Love is the most important thing of the day is that, you know, everybody there that's celebrating with us, we love with all our hearts. Everybody that, you know, sees and watches us sees that we are so in love and so excited to be married and to share a day with each other and, you know, and have a magical day. I think, you know, relax, I think, is a perfect word because you have done so much for this wedding. I mean, if Amanda's done 98% of everything and I've done 2% of things.
Right.
So.
You've done a lot.
What has he done?
He's looked in the mirror in his suit a lot.
Oh, wow.
Like he's put his suit on and made sure that it's like perfect and ready to go. He's more of a bride than I am, I think.
Really?
Whoa.
I love this.
You are.
No, this is getting to
He has been helpful as groom-zilla. Far as like I do. I'm not good at making decisions for myself.
For yourself.
So I need him just to bounce ideas off of. And even if he doesn't make the decision for me, he'll at least say, I like that or I don't. And then I have that sounding board that I'm like, okay, is this crazy? And he might say like a little crazy or
you're not a waffle.
I make
decisions. When you get focused and a little angry.
Yeah.
You're there.
Oh yeah.
Let's do it.
The biggest fight we've had through wedding planning is about our dance.
The bride and groom dance?
Yes, which by the way happened last night, so it's fresh.
It's fresh. Now, I don't want to spoil any surprises for anyone who might be at the wedding here, and you want to keep this thing. Is it about the song, the dance moves? Are you taking classes together? What's going on?
So we are very lucky that we have a great girlfriend who is incredibly talented, and she's choreographed for all kinds of amazing artists.
Okay.
So she's clearly like way above us.
Yeah,
but
sure.
She just did Pink's new tour. She was the choreographer for Pink's new tour.
She's amazing.
I guarded Pink.
She definitely dummied it down.
So what are you doing? Foxtrot?
Here's the thing. Amanda was a professional dancer, not exotic, but she was a professional dancer before.
I've seen some of your work on Instagram. You won like a company dance off the other year.
Last year I did win our dance off and it was judged by kids. So obviously I kept it very
PG-13.
PG, well, I don't know. But I did a great job.
Kids can see a lot these days that I couldn't see at 20. So what's the crux of the argument? Dance move, song?
So it's
he wants Journey, right?
He always wants Journey. No, we have the song figured out.
Come on, Ken.
We totally have the song figured out. And we even have the moves down, but I also forget, like I can retain information. Not that I can retain information better than him, because I definitely can't, but when it comes to dancing.
Sure. Who was the Steelers quarterback in 1989?
Well, it's split between Bobby Brister and Mike Thompson.
All right, you're right.
He's way better at trivia. He's actually just a lot smarter than me in general. But when it comes to dancing, I can retain counts. I can retain moves. Yeah. Like, so if someone teaches me something one time, I'll remember it pretty well.
Right.
And also, I mean, I've been practicing.
Sure.
Secretly. So I look better than him. But he has not been practicing as much.
If you want to practice in the office with me,
hey,
I'll dance with you.
I'll show you the video.
Yeah.
He has not been practicing quite as much. So when we went to do it last night, he does a lot of improv. He's a great dancer.
Sure.
But this dance does not require improv. It actually requires you to do the specific moves
Memorize the script, Josh.
Yes, you're right, Ken. You're right.
So I'm like, you know, there's parts where I have to like, you know, hold him or I'm turning and he's supposed to be doing something. He's just like twerking. I'm like, you can't do that. This is like a choreographed dance. You have to do the moves that we're supposed to be doing that we were taught. And he's like, it's fine. We'll just dance battle this part. I'm like, we're not dance battling.
You want a dance battle in your wedding dance.
Be careful.
You got served, Ken.
Be careful. We may put that in there. Nothing is off limits.
Yeah. It's a really fun song. And my, you know, we have, I
Is it Walk the Dinosaur by Was Not Was?
No, unfortunately, it's not Walk. Nor is it anything Rock said.
I don't think anyone will expect
no,
it.
No, nobody's going to expect it.
It comes out of nowhere.
Okay, really okay. Does.
But the biggest, he really, I try not to spoil anything, but he really wants to do this lift.
Okay.
Which we've done a few times.
Dangerous.
Unsuccessfully.
Right.
No, we did it in Palm Springs. Multiple times successfully. We just have to practice and get it down. That's all.
Right. But this is a bit of a lesson for you, though, Josh.
Correct.
A compromise for marriage of working within the lines.
Correct.
Right. So no, do you feel improv? You feel you could do this?
Yeah. No. Last night, by the end there, I was getting it back again.
He did.
Practiced some moves this morning.
He did. He got
I've been
it.
Like, I've been working on it in my brain, walking through the moves, making sure I know, where I am in certain things, because I want this dance to look really good. Because if it doesn't, I know she'll be upset. I'll be upset.
Well, I'll be pointing and laughing.
Yes. Exactly. What I said. I'm like, if we're going to do this, we've got to fully commit and be really good at it, because they are expecting nothing less from the two of us.
Right.
So if we screw this up, like this lift, Josh is he's a big Italian
beefy man,
beefy guy. He doesn't.
He shops in the husky side.
Oh, burn! You've been talking to my brother.
He doesn't straighten his arms above his head perfectly.
Well,
straight.
Little C-Rex arms.
He's got those big strong
here's
lats.
The thing. I have strong lats. I have a bum left shoulder. My whole left side of my body screwed
up. It's not his fault. I love his body. But when it comes to doing lifts, I need him to really have a good hold of me. And he said to me that this started the fight, because he said to me, I'm really offended that you don't think that I can hold you up. Of course I'm going to hold you up. I can't believe you would think I can't support you holding you in my arms. Like, as if that was sort of like a metaphor for something.
I
was like, what are we talking about here? I'm like,
you were questioning my strength.
Exactly.
To support you.
Exactly. So I did apologize. I do trust that he does have my back, literally and figuratively.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
But maybe just like a dip instead of a lift.
No, we're lifting. We're going to lift.
Okay. We're going to do a lift.
Yeah.
Okay. I have full faith.
Yeah.
Every wedding I've ever been to has come together.
Yes.
And it works.
This one is going to
I don't want your wedding to end up on Funniest Home Videos, if that show were still around, but
I will say this, Ken. There's a really good shot. Yeah. I don't want to sound cocky here.
Yeah.
It's a really good shot that like a lot of our wedding is going to go viral.
Yeah.
In a certain sense, like fashion-wise, picture-wise.
I mean,
you keep saying it.
I do with what we are doing.
Yeah.
It's one or the other. It's going to go viral and everybody's going to think it's awesome, or they're going to think it's terrible and tacky and like a costume party.
Oh, well.
Which really isn't so bad either.
I haven't really talked about what I'm wearing yet. Yeah. I assume just a simple suit, but do I have a cape or something? What do I got?
Ken, I want you to wear one of your, the most colorful pattern that you have.
No.
Oh.
So...
Not on his suit, but under like his shirt tie combo.
I don't see.
Okay, he can wear you can wear whatever you want. But I will say, this is, Josh being sort of a bride in this sense.
Yeah,
he really is very happy with his suit.
Look,
which is a wonderful.
Sure.
But he really wanted to make sure that I didn't show anyone, because he wanted it to be a surprise on our wedding day. So while he walks down the aisle, everyone's like oohing and aahing and wow, isn't he amazing? Ooh. And they will be thinking that.
Yeah, they
but
will.
But I just have a feeling that if Ken is wearing a loud suit, it's going to take some attention.
My job as the officiant is to just fold into the background. Like Sean Spicer at a press conference where he's fired, or Homer Simpson into the bushes. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like Tommy Lee Jones in Men in Black. I don't want anyone to remember. And then when you guys go in for the kiss, I already know that I got to back out of that picture. I can't be in it. So I might be.
Oh, is that like a thing?
That's a thing. I have, because I did it when I officiated the other wedding. It was like the photographer was like, this is the first wedding I officiated. Now, you've done weddings too, but I was like, hey, just remember.
You always peel back and left.
Peel back. When they kiss, we don't want your face in the picture. So I'm like, good point.
Yep.
Good point. So I got all that down. So I don't know, Josh. The wildest color I have is like a pink shirt.
If you wear that light pink underneath like a gray suit, because the groomsmen have a gray suit with wear an open, or you can have a tie if you'd like. It's silly.
Oh,
idea,
yeah. But is it that casual?
Yeah. I'm not going to have a tie on.
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
That is one question I have received a lot through wedding planning. Once you tell people where you're getting married and they get the invitation, even though you have a website with
everything,
every little Mary detail, almost too, yes, almost too much detail.
Right.
They still have questions. Which is okay. I am happy to field any questions that I get and either ask the right person or make a decision and tell them. But
yeah,
some of the people, questions have been.
But that's going to continue to the wedding day because you're the quarterback. You're the head coach. Whether or not, you know, in this situation, people are going to assume Josh doesn't have an opinion. It's probably wrong to assume that. But in this, I can tell you, especially the last wedding, my friend Megan's wedding a couple months ago when I went up there. I mean, it's up to game time.
Yeah.
It was like, Megan, what do you want? Megan, where does this go? Megan, what is it? It's like they're all focused on you.
I know. And that's what I don't want. I want, like,
we have a planner.
We do. I have an amazing planner.
Right. But even the planner,
her name is Joni.
Joni's
Kindred Events. I love her.
Do you have to knight her? She is your hand.
Yes. And she's been so great. What I don't want is for people to worry so much about me on my wedding day, I guess.
Sure.
I don't know.
You don't want people fussing.
Well, yeah, even my bridal shower was last weekend and it was so unbelievable. But I even said after that, like, we can cancel the bachelorette. You guys have done enough. They wouldn't my girlfriends wouldn't even let me clean, which is amazing. But that's very awkward for me.
It's like a pitcher pitching a no-hitter. Yeah. No one wants to talk to they don't want to mess. I do have an important question for you though, Amanda. What is the difference between a bridal shower and a bachelorette party?
So
I don't understand. Ken, I didn't think they were two.
They all look the same.
Yeah,
because we don't have a groom shower for Josh, right?
I mean, we should take him in hours.
We took him to Yard House and get some Korean barbecue up there if we want. But
I think traditionally, a bridal shower is when it's like more of a family extended friend party that celebrates the bride. Like, you're getting married. Yay. And you invite.
This is like,
it's a calmer Sunday
afternoon.
What's
the difference between a polo shirt and a polo shirt?
Yeah.
You invite people who are wedding guests who, maybe aunts and cousins, and it's usually always.
It's a little tame.
It's a Sunday afternoon.
Yes, it's like
party
a brunch. Yes,
correct.
It's like a brunch or a lunch, and it's usually all women.
All right.
And it's just like a girly day.
No male strippers at the
bachelor
bridal
party is when you typically only go on a trip or weekend with your bridesmaids' best friends.
Sure.
And it's not quite as like PG.
Yeah, I mean,
so
more dicks can.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
But not like real
for
dicks.
For both of them.
But you're like, yeah.
You know, they do the straws and the crowns.
The penis
I definitely don't.
Yeah. Who doesn't enjoy a dick straw?
Yeah, great.
My sisters did that whole thing. Mm-hmm. We did get kicked out of a restaurant. I'm not.
Because of the dick straw?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a big. I feel dirty even saying it, but I'm not a big, like, dick paraphernalia.
Oh, okay.
That makes me feel good.
Well, that's going to change my gift.
I mean, I'm not big on, like.
Sure, no. You just want to go have a.
I think traditionally they make that, like, kind of funny, like, oh, only one penis forever.
Right.
I'm fully aware of that, and I'm okay with that. So I don't need to, like, suck on a weird straw. But my bachelorettes, if you're planning anything with a penis on it, it's totally fine, and I'll love it.
Wow. I mean,
that's the difference. There's no penis straws at the bridal shower.
I mean, yes. Josh,
that's the main difference.
That has to make you, that's the difference. That has to make you feel good, though.
Yeah, that she's not out there jonesing for dick straws.
Yeah. I mean, you, though, on the other hand.
I'm all about the dick straws.
Dick straws all over the back.
Dick balloons, dick straws, dick cupcakes.
On that note.
Next question.
On the dick note. All right. So let's talk about the actual ceremony. So this is the part that I have something to do with, and I'm terrified.
Come on, Ken.
The first wedding I officiated was very, very loose. It was like a comedy show. I could get in there and get my digs, and I already know. I got some Macuga family coming in with some real strong sense of what a wedding should be.
Yeah.
I'm really worried if I get the first joke out and it doesn't go well, I'm going to have to just walk off the stage.
No. You know, here's the thing, Ken, is my family has an amazing sense of humor, and they're so excited just to be there and be ready for a wedding day and everything like that. I would think that you know, leading off the ceremony, if you're just like, listen, we're here to celebrate Amanda and Josh. We're here to have an amazing day, a great time. Let's all enjoy this ceremony and the rest of the day.
Right.
You know, like, it's not because my dad has an amazing sense of humor. So does my mother. Her mother obviously does. Her father, I can't tell.
A little dry.
He's dry. Dry. He scares the shit out of me, but he's amazing.
I have a dry sense of humor. Maybe it works.
And, I think that the ceremony itself, it's just going to be an amazing celebration of love and us too, just the rest of the day. And I would say, Ken, you know, don't be nervous.
Yeah.
Just have fun with it, man.
Okay.
Just like you and I talking in the office, you and us talking here together.
Sure. That's what the ceremony right now. Is. This is it.
This is legal.
There is what I think we both want and what I think it's hard to do because you do have, you know, the opinions of family and kind of what they expect and also what they've experienced. I mean, we are getting married outside and we're having dinner among grapevines. It's very different from a lot of like ballroom weddings.
Right.
So
it isn't like the town rec center.
No, right. No.
So it's already sort of it's a new thing for a lot of wedding guests.
Right, right.
Like, and it'll be beautiful and, you know, an amazing place for them to be. I have no doubt that everyone will love it, but it is hard to stay true to ourselves and also consider what they want, but then not, you know, not
compromise in a way that's going to make us unhappy on the biggest day of
like
our lives.
I do believe that a marriage is serious.
Sure.
That being married to somebody, you know, to make those promises to someone forever is a very serious thing. But I also think it's fun because we're fun and loving each other is fun. And that's how I want our lives to be for the rest of
life.
I mean, I want
love and fun.
I do. The one thing that I always think about, that I know I'll have forever with Josh is laughter, and he makes everything fun. And although marriage is very serious, it doesn't have to be stuffy. It doesn't have to be, you know, we want to touch on those serious notes in the ceremony, but I want it to feel like us. And if that means there's laughter and jokes, then that's what we want.
I mean, look, I'm not saying we're going to do a tight five.
No, you know, like you can start off with crowd work.
I'll do some crowd work. I
want
to be earnest. I want to be respectful and like a celebratory tone.
And that's why we hired you.
Yeah. Yeah.
KenNapsockMarries.com.
Probably get my rates going. But as long as can I sell my comedy CD in the back after?
Yeah, well, 100%.
Some t-shirts?
As long as it comes on CD and cassette.
Oh, yeah,
you know, some of the Pittsburghers there still have cassettes in their cars.
I got some T-Public shirts I got going on there. It'll be good. It'll be good. Let me get to the serious stuff here.
Okay.
How, Amanda, jokes aside, did you look at this beast of a man? And say, this is the horse I want to tame. There's a lot of imagery in there.
There sure is.
A lot of animalistic stuff in there, Ken.
It's weird. I want to say, like, it was a long time coming, but it wasn't. It really, when I met him, we just had this phone relationship, but he...
Phone relationship?
Yeah, we just talked on the
texting.
Phone.
Texting. Like, calling?
Nah, mostly texting.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you, freaks?
Yeah.
I know, who talks on the phone anymore? Mostly texting, which was him, like, you know,
being a Josh. Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, give, you know, a bunch. Whoa. He would always write me a bunch of jokes that I have to Google because I didn't either. I usually didn't know the reference. He'd be like, yeah, like that in that Seinfeld episode, which I've seen all of them, but I still don't know like the name of it. So then I have to Google like Seinfeld episode 25.
How many times did you have to like, Google Barry Foster, Bubby Brister?
Oh,
Chuck
yeah. There was some, I mean, I didn't know who Bo Jackson was for a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there was but I knew he did.
What's crazy
he really
is
was smart.
One of the first times we hung out, she said to me, do you know who Marshall Faulk is? And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Of course I know who Marshall Faulk is. One of the greatest running backs of all time. Oh, yeah, I know him. And I'm like,
I did not say it like
it was
that.
Sort
like
of something
droppy.
Like that.
I think I said, do you know him? Because we're going to dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
With Marshall
Faulk. I was like, ah.
Yeah, I wasn't like name dropping.
Greatest show on turf. 1993
Super Bowl. I may have been trying to impress you.
Yeah. Oh, well, it worked. It worked. It's all he talks about in the office. Hey, guys, I tell you that time I had dinner with Marshall Faulk and asked him about Bo Jackson. I mean, that's what he does. So, so he's wooing you via text with jokes that you don't get.
I don't think he realized this at the time, but he was doing it the right way because
what's the right way?
At that point, I was really happy being alone. It wasn't like I was thinking I'd be this spinster, like living alone forever.
Right.
But I just was happy.
How many cats did you own?
Zero cats.
Had you had cats, Ken, we wouldn't be here right now.
That's full commitment.
So it was very organic, and he got me to like him over the phone. And in a lot of ways, like with the dating apps and stuff, we didn't do that, but I think that's where sometimes those can work is when you do have this phone conversation first and you get to know somebody with, you know, before meeting them. So you really, when you do meet them, you don't judge them for all these weird little things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like bad shoes. Because you know them, you feel like you're already friends.
Yeah.
So I felt that way about him, and I honestly didn't think he'd ask me out because it had been 3 weeks, and I'm like, well, friend zone, that's fine. I mean, I knew I liked him anyway.
Right. What was taking you so long, Makuga?
You know, Ken, it was. I don't know. I honestly, I do not know. I think.
Were you afraid that this was too real?
It maybe a little bit. You know, I didn't. I was at like the tail end of that. Josh being an idiot.
Sure, I remember situation. Those decades.
And I didn't know that what I was missing was this.
Yeah.
I think I was just trying to be the same old Josh and then trying to do like a booty call at some point. Be like, meet me at the Comedy Store at 10:30. She was like, no.
Oh, man.
You what? No. You're going to have to ask me on a proper date.
She's and then like, I was I'm like, an 8 p.m. main room girl.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a 10:30 belly room.
Exactly.
Correct. And so, you know, I finally got around to it. And, you know, I got to give her the kind of credit on this one. She was not going to be the Postmates. She was going to be you. I had to go to her. I wasn't going to get delivery.
She was like the Chili's.
Yes. Okay. You had to get to Chili's.
You had to get Chili's.
You don't want Chili's to go at the airport. Yeah, you want the Chili's.
No Chili's too.
Correct.
Got it.
Are you excited? We compared you to one of our favorite restaurants of all time.
Yeah, this is
you
flattered.
Should be.
I am.
I mean,
should be.
Yeah.
I mean, Ken, we've had some of our greatest memories at a Chili's in German Oaks.
Yeah.
The Encino Plaza.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Oh, it's geez. An incredible
I don't
Chili's.
Think I even realized that I was doing this, like, not playing hard to get, but this, like, you got to take me on a date if you want to
hang out with me. Yeah.
But at
it's
that
nice
point,
to know.
Yes.
Here's the declared intentions. Yeah.
And at that point, I felt like I have nothing to lose. If I say, take me on a date, and he says no, then... Okay, we're back to square one. Like
he'll stop annoying you with these jokes.
I just felt like I didn't really have anything to lose. I wasn't trying to impress him. And I honestly think that's why it worked. And it felt so easy and organic. Like the first time we hung out, I was mortified. He embarrassed me in the restaurant by dancing with me. And
it wasn't really a dance.
It was like a taqueria.
Did you lift her?
No lift.
No lift. But I do remember walking out of that restaurant after our first date where, by the way, I was totally dressed up and he wore a Penguins t-shirt with these
wasn't my best
awful shoes. I mean, they were like slippers. Horrendous. I don't even know how to explain them. But because I knew him, I felt like I knew him. We felt like we were friends at that point. I didn't judge him right off the bat like you normally would when you set a date with someone for the first time and they pick you up at your door and you're that shallow person who's like, his clothes were bad. No, bye. You know, I mean, I felt a comfort with him already that the clothes were kind of silly and I laughed at it, you know. So I remember walking out of our first date thinking, I'm either never going to see this guy again because he's just, he completely embarrassed me, or I need to marry this person.
Wow.
Like, this is who, this it was the it. First time I'd been with somebody who was not insecure or afraid to embarrass themselves or just not, who was like so unapologetically himself. It was, he just had no shame.
Right.
He just was so much fun. I think that's what initially got me to like fall deeply for him.
Did you lack that? Not that you lacked fun. You're a fun person, but like you felt that you needed that big final spark in your own life.
Kind of. And if you ask my girlfriends, they would say the same thing. I've just always been so. I wouldn't consider myself a type A person, but other people probably would. Sure. I've just always been such a.
Namely your fiance.
I don't break rules. Like I don't. Right. I don't break rules. I don't break the law. I am not a risk taker.
Right.
I'm usually like the mother who, you know, is the designated driver or who's taking care of a sick friend.
Paul Abdul says it. Can opposites attract?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always been very. I've always been very safe.
She's a cold-hearted snake.
So I did. I did need somebody, you know, I'd get home by 11 o'clock on a Saturday
because
I wanted to work out at 6 a.m. I just was very regimented, very safe.
And then this whirlwind of humanity comes into your life.
Yes.
Dancing but I did, a taco restaurant.
Yes. But I needed that. It was like the first time I had this, I felt this like, oh my gosh, this is what I need. I need someone.
Sure.
I need someone to not only like bring the fun out of me, but also not. Also know that I am that safe, like no risks, and play up to that. Cause he sort of knew that, like he could tell, I think that I was very safe and a very good girl. And then I think he's like, oh, I'm going to mess with this. Like I'm going to poke her. But it worked. The one thing that's been so consistent, I mean, not only that he's so great at communicating, but he's just so easy to be around and he's so fun.
Yeah.
And even like when he drives me crazy, it's for the silliest things. Like he leaves our kitchen cabinets open all the time.
I do that too. I had to close them all before you came
over.
I think
that's a guy thing. I don't get it, but just close it.
I think I closed it.
Yeah, me too.
I'm pretty sure
I closed it.
And then I'll come back later like, that's 4 inches wide open. I don't understand how that happened. Or I'll forget.
I tell you what, if the fridge doesn't automatically close, it wouldn't be open all the time.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I do feel like I sort of had to teach him how to be in an adult relationship.
Oh.
Definitely.
Is that true?
No, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like.
Here's the thing for me is I had been in a string since in high school and college, I never really had a serious girlfriend. Like, I sort of dated two girls in college for like max 2 months, right? And then when I got to New York, definitely didn't have a girlfriend, mostly because I was living on like $8 a week
in the
world's most expensive city. And when I got to LA, I went through like a string of just not great relationships, just like one after the other. And the one right before Amanda destroyed me.
Right.
You know, it was 2 years before Amanda, and I was just an asshole for 2 years.
Sure.
I really, really was. And you know, you even said to me, you're like, you're not being a nice person.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that. And I think it really took me to realize that what was in front of me, which was Amanda, was way too good to, one, pass up, two, fuck up, and three, not treat with utter you know, respect, love, and tenderness here. So
this was you literally, if not figuratively, if not literally, waking up in a gutter going, not good anymore.
Yes.
And not it's good. Not that she's the tool. It wasn't like, all right, this will help me. It was like, I want to do it for her. I want to make these changes and change for her.
Absolutely. I think every day I wake up thinking, you know, it used to be like, how can I make myself better for myself? And I think now it's how can I make myself better and make better decisions to make her life better as well?
Sure.
Because when you have somebody else that you love and that you care for and that you want to be on this journey, because, you know, listen, we are in a kind of a crazy industry.
Yeah.
And it really is our life.
Right.
It's our lives, and we really enjoy what we do, but it's so up and down. It's full of rejections. It's full of total uncertainty.
Right.
It's full of, you know, despair and trepidation.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was with Amanda and you know, my career definitely wasn't where I wanted it to be, but it was on its way. And she was so supportive, and she was also very honest and forthright with me. And it just felt so right. I remember it was probably like our second or third week. We were in bed, and I like looked over at you, and I was like, this is happening very fast.
Sorry, you mean cuddling on the couch.
Cuddling on the couch.
Yeah,
sorry.
Definitely.
Pants on?
The problem was we were in Amanda's bed because Amanda owned the most uncomfortable couch in the history of couches.
It was like back and neck support.
Oh, it was like an terrible. Elizabethan ornate couch.
It was
couch.
A very cute Anthropology couch, but it was not practical for TV watching.
Terrible. It was terrible. It was absolutely horrendous. It was the worst couch I've ever been on in my life.
I know that feeling.
And
it's big.
It's terrible. It's real bad. It almost ruined our relationship.
I would have supported this.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But I knew really, really early on going in. I mean, I told her I loved her after like the third week of dating, a month in.
And more like 2 weeks. But two weeks. We'll give him four.
So he went first, huh?
Oh, yeah.
He did. He did go first. I knew I really liked him. I just hadn't really sorted out my feelings yet. We were just having so much fun. I didn't really need to. It was like, it was so easy. We definitely, I think we'd had a conversation like, you're not dating anyone else, right? Like, okay, neither am I. I think he even said like, I don't want to date anybody else. And so I said, okay, me either. So we had that conversation.
I don't know how people have affairs. I don't know how people like date multiple people. It is so much work being with one person.
What do you mean? I'm not like totally easy.
You're so, babe, you're so easy. But like, I want to spend my time with her all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, if I'm not going to spend my time with her, I'd like to go out with like some of my buddies and have a drink, not with like another woman.
Right.
It would be absolutely horrendous.
That's because you're a good guy, babe.
Yeah. Right. But also too, I'm very, very lucky and we have an amazing life together. But back to when I kind of felt like new is I actually really wanted to call her. In such a millennial way of saying things. Mm-hmm. Like, I was tired of texting. I'd just like to hear her voice. And talk to her and hear her laugh. And, you know.
Yeah. Isn't he sweet?
Yeah. He's all right.
Sometimes I wonder, like, how did I bag him? I don't know.
That he's question's so being asked, too.
I think
on the
bag
honestly,
is the proper word, too.
He's just honestly the nicest person. And it's very genuine. I mean, he gives me, if I talk too much about it, I'll cry. Also, but it might help me with my vows.
This isn't the Beardo podcast. You don't do that.
But he just will look at me and genuinely tell me out of nowhere, I love you. Like, I love you so much. Right. I mean, we will be in the middle of the night sleeping. And I mean, he knows I'm a light sleeper and we toss and turn a lot. Right. But he'll just like at 2 a.m., I don't know, middle of the night sometime, we're both sleeping and he'll just like grab my hand and tell me he loves me.
Right.
And sometimes I'm like, is he having a dream about something else?
With his night
is he having
problem,
a dream about Bo Jackson? Or is it actually real? But I mean, he is, he's way better with his words and the way he expresses his feelings to me, because it's always just so romantic. And I'm like, I love you too. But I do kind of have to like pinch myself sometimes because I don't know how. I'm not that I don't think I'm a catch, but sometimes I'm like, how did I get him?
Wow.
You are a catch, babe.
Yeah. No, this is good. It's a mutual catch society here.
Not a catch and release.
This is great stuff. In closing here, I want to know what does that word love mean to each one of you? Because it is a big thing saying it. It is this word that doesn't mean anything, but it means everything. Mm-hmm. And there's not a game, but there's a moment where one of you is going to commit to this word, which has implications and has meaning. And Josh comes first. Do you say it, Josh, because you're comfortable saying it first, because you know her response, or was it just a matter of this is what this means, I'm going to put it out there, results be damned? What does this word mean?
I think, Ken, you know me pretty well. I'm a very, very positive person. I'm a very loving person. I always say it. You know, I've said it multiple times on whether it be TV Talk or the Josh McCuga Show or wherever. It's a lot easier to love somebody than it is to hate somebody.
Yeah.
Right? The amount of energy that people expel trying to hate one another is so unhealthy, and it's just not good. And I think a lot of the problems in this world right now are spread via hate.
Yeah.
And I find it very easy to say I love somebody because I think people deserve to hear it, and I think people... Right. It makes people feel very, very good. But when I look into Amanda's eyes and when I look at Amanda, it's a very, very emotionally powerful thing to look in somebody's eyes and know 100% that you can't wait to look into their eyes forever.
Right.
And I love her smile, and I love everything about her. So the word love is all encompassing in how I feel. And I guess, like, if we were to put a literal action on it, you know, you throw yourself in front of anything for her to make sure that she knows that you love her.
You'd take a Mario Lemieux slap shot with no gear.
No gear.
If it meant she could...
Right to the chest plate.
Be hiding, taking a nap in that net.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when I said I loved her... for the first time, I didn't care if she didn't say it back. I wasn't like Costanza when he was like, "Don't I get to say this, Jerry? Let me say it once." Did you ever say it before? I said it to a dog once. You know, I didn't care if she said it back.
We'll Google it later.
I'll show you it later.
Okay, yeah.
But when I said it, I didn't care if she said it back. I didn't. Because if she wasn't ready to say it, fine. But I knew I was ready to say it. Right. And I knew my feelings. And my feelings wouldn't have been hurt if she didn't say it back. Because if it's out in the ether and it's out in the air, I know that she knows that. And she, if she needs to think about it more, great. But she knows that when she looks at me, there is a feeling of 100% love.
Yeah.
Got it. That's great. That's a good answer. You want to officiate this wedding? That's good.
Well, I did feel when he told me for the first time that he did not have any doubt. Like, it didn't feel like... I definitely didn't feel like I had to say it back. He said it with so much... He was just... It felt like he was so sure. Conviction. And he said it so casually. It was like, oh, I know this feeling. Like, I'm not going to make this a big moment. I'm just going to tell you I love you, like, when I'm hugging you, because I do, and that's it. I'm just going to tell you that.
Yeah.
And I didn't say it back. I actually think I told him he was cute instead. I did. I told him.
It's better than thank
you're
you,
cute.
Ken.
I said, "You're so cute," and I just hugged him, and then, like, we made out. I made out with him just to, like, make up for it in hopes that he'd forget. But after he said it to me, I finally could think about my feelings.
Right.
And really, like, where we were, because it had moved so quickly, but so organically, it never felt like we were rushing anything.
Oh, yeah, I know that feeling, yeah.
So after he said it to me and he left, I really was able to sit down and think about how I felt. And I realized after, you know, considering, what was it, like 3 dates when you told me? Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll give you 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
But I really, I and at that point,
you know.
We're, and also... Yeah. We're a little bit older for meeting. So I don't know. I mean,
you were 30. You were 28 at the time, and I was 33.
Yeah, but
young pups.
We dated. We dated before, so we definitely.
I mean, Josh has, but
couches. We definitely were at a point where I think you don't need as much time to know
when you know what you want.
It's like, I know what I want, so it doesn't take that long to figure it out.
Yeah.
So the next day he said it to me again, and I told him I loved him back, because at that point I'd been able to, like, really think about it.
Sleep on it.
I slept on it.
And I
realized, like, wow, I really do love him. And I also wasn't afraid to tell him that.
Yeah.
But it, like, had to be at the right moment. So when he said it to me the next day, I said it back. And then it was like, I don't know. We looked at each other like, okay, we definitely are on the same page. Awesome. We love each other. Cool.
Cool. Let's go make a life together.
Yeah. It was like,
that's 100%
great.
It.
Which is,
you ready? You good? Oh, we'll take the check.
This is the best Chili's trip ever.
Ever.
Well, you know what? You both have answered that question very well. This is going to be exciting. A fast engagement as we put it together. And I've watched you, Amanda, change this man. Not just take the Bo Jackson posters down, though that had to be a tough moment for you, Josh.
I have the cards up in the office.
The cards are up in the office.
Yeah.
Now, maybe if you one day move, do you get a Bo Jackson room?
Well, I'm going to get a man cave, and Bo Jackson will be prevalent.
Sure.
Gotcha.
We'll have a man cave. That's fine. Yeah. You do have a beautiful painting that my mom painted with Bo Jackson in it. That is awesome.
Yeah.
You also have a very cool, like, vintage Bad Boys 2 poster.
Yeah.
Right.
Which was a gift
from Thad.
Okay.
From Thad.
So you're doing
That's
all
cool.
right.
Yes.
He's kept some things.
Yeah. It wasn't like you came in there and sternly ripped all these things off the wall like some nun at a...
No, I definitely did that.
Oh, you did that.
I did
that. Okay, well, sorry. Shame. But that's good. But I'm excited to see what happens here. It's going to be a great wedding. I have no doubt that everything you're planning is going to be good, no matter what food. The food, I'm sure that's what I'm going to remember because I'm a big fat guy. I want the food, right?
It's great. We got late night pizzas too.
And
a full candy bar.
Going to be in a beautiful location.
Yes.
But all those are the details that fill up the day. What really makes the day work is your guys' heart, right? And that is what is going to drive this wedding, and it's going to be fun. So I am so happy that you guys came in today. I'm taking notes. This is good. Some of these quotes could end up in the speeches and the ceremony. This was a good session, kids. We worked through a lot.
It was. Therapist Ken.
Next time, 45 minutes on your night terrors. We're going to work on that, Josh. We're going to work on that.
That'll be for a Halloween knapsack class.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, man, watching you get scared, it all makes sense now. Yeah. Watching you get scared in those Coletta videos. Yeah. So, Amanda, and too, you know, I'm Josh's friend. You know what I mean? I got pulled into your life through that way. So for me to learn about the woman who has tamed this beast, who didn't need much taming. I think it was already there.
Yeah.
He just had to realize this was the person that he wanted to shave for. Well,
the wild man is a person. The wild man's also a very loving and interesting. The wild man is a multifaceted persona. A lot of people are like, oh, the girl that tamed the wild man. The wild man is still there.
He's still there.
Because you want, but that's the thing. It's not just about cracking whips and getting some old stereotypes. This is a refiner's fire.
Yes.
That is forging this love here, but this both of you here, and I think that's what's happening.
Yeah.
That's what's good.
Way to use a steel reference there, Ken.
Yeah, absolutely. Well done. Absolutely. Pittsburgh, PA!
Yeah.
Guys, that is it for the Knapsack Files this week. But Josh McCook, you do a lot of wonderful things. So where are you at? Where can you be followed? What can you promote?
At Josh McCook on Twitter and Instagram. We do Collider TV Talk every day, 11 a.m. Pacific time on Collider Video. The Josh McCook Show on YouTube and WGN Movies for America every Monday night on WGN America.
That's right. And Josh McCook Show is where you surprised me with this wedding officiating question.
You can watch our episode right there.
Good strategy. You can watch that the Valentine's Day, roughly around Valentine's this past year. And Amanda, I know you work for a rising company in the fashion world.
It's
all over the internet, so you could be followed with some great fun stuff too.
Yes, I don't have quite as much going on as Josh, but I do work for a very fun clothing brand.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? You're supposed to promote
it. It's called, this is, I'm plugging.
This is the plug.
Cool. I've never gotten to do a plug before. I work for Show Me Your Mumu. They're at Show Me Your Mumu on Instagram.
MUMU.
Yep. Okay. MUMU. It is a super fun women's clothing line. It's, you just got to look at it.
Got it.
The culture, the lifestyle, everything. It is, an awesome brand, and it's super fun to work with your friends.
And
so.
Your social media handle?
Oh, sorry. My social media handle, really just on Instagram. I don't have Twitter because I'm not that interesting and I need the pictures really.
Yeah. It's not, you're interesting, but yeah.
Amanda _Gordon. Gordon with an O, not an A.
That's right.
A lot of people say
Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon.
Well, that you plugged anymore?
Yeah, and
you
really,
got any appearances at Chuckle Hut this weekend?
No appearances.
7:30 in the 10.
I'm really trying to curate my Instagram to be super cute and colorful. So
it is.
Really,
I can
I'm
tell.
Really working, that's what I'm working on.
When
lately.
I'm scrolling through Instagram, I can tell when you've made a post.
When you think of basic, I want you to think of my Instagram profile.
This is a lot of fun. Married Macuga is the hashtag to use if you want to talk to these guys about love. You can follow me at Cat Knapsack, and of course the Knapsack Files is on Facebook, on iTunes or Apple Podcast, I should say, Stitcher as well. I'm working on Google Play. I need a young 12-year-old to make me figure out how to get Google Play to work. They're smarter than me. I'm too old to get my RSS feed on Google Play, but I'm trying. I'm also on Patreon. So close to reaching some goals. So if you want to follow me, go to patreon.com/TheKnapsackFiles. So for Josh, for Amanda, for love. We'll see you next time on the Knapsack Files.